Chapter 4. Boys Don't Blubber. A few days later, Nat came out of school one afternoon and found Hab waiting for him.
"Come on, Nat. I'm going to show you a new kind of ship. She's the Freedom."
Out on the wharf, men were trundling boxes and bales of cargo to the Freedom.
"She isn't a privateer," Nat said. "She's carrying cargo."
Then he saw guns mounted on the deck.
"She's a letter of marque ship," Hab said. "She carries cargo, but she can fight if she has to."
Hab straightened.
"I'm signed on her crew, Nat."
Nat gulped.
"Does Mother know? And Father?"
"Sure, they all know. They understand. After all, I come from a long line of sea captains, don't I? And I'm big for my age."
"I'm growing," Nat said.
He grinned.
"I bet next winter I'll be too big for my coat, and William will get it."
Nat remembered last winter, when Hab had outgrown his coat.
"Did you get cold last winter, Hab?"
"Plenty cold."
Nat was puzzled.
"But when the boys yelled at you, you always said, 'I'm not cold. Only sissies need winter coats.'"
"Of course,"
Hab frowned.
"Boys don't blubber. If something hurts, you say it doesn't."
He looked up at the tall masts of the Freedom and grinned.
"She's a grand ship, isn't she?"
Nat's stomach felt hollow. What would it be like with Hab gone? But boys didn't blubber. He bit his lips to steady them and squared his shoulders.
"Yes, Hab, a grand ship. How long before you sail?"
Hab shrugged and looked important.
"We can't tell. The British are trying to blockade the harbor. They've got ships offshore there, all the time, watching for our ships."
What would happen if they'd catch the Freedom?"
Hab shrugged again.
"They won't."
Nat shivered. A few mornings later, when he awakened, Hab was gone. He left a note for Nat.
"Dear Nat, it's foggy tonight, so we're going to sail. Tomorrow the British will still be watching for us, but we'll be gone. You're the oldest boy now. Remember, boys don't blubber. Yours sincerely, Hab."
Nat scrambled into his clothes and hurried downstairs and out of the house. He ran toward the wharf. The Freedom was gone. Nat turned from the wharf back into town and climbed a little hill. He looked toward the sea. The fog had cleared. Had the Freedom escaped from the English ship, or had she been captured? How long would it be before they'd know what happened? A year? 2 years? At the breakfast table, everyone talked fast and tried to sound cheerful.
"I think the war's almost over," Father said. "That's what the shipowners think, too. You can tell. That's why they're sending out letter of marque ships now. If a privateer is at sea when the war ends, she'll have her voyage for nothing. But a letter of marque ship will go right on about her business, carrying cargo, buying and selling, making money for her owner. Making money hand over fist."
Nat knew Father was thinking about Elias Derby. He was one of the richest shipowners in Salem. People said he was one of the richest men in the country.
"If the war is almost over, will things get better now?"
Liz asked. Father nodded.
"Of course. Just any day now."
But things didn't get better. All summer, prices climbed higher and higher, and food got scarcer and scarcer. Sometimes Mother and Granny did not have anything to cook but potatoes, 3 meals a day. In the fall, Hab came back. He was brown as an Indian. Granny said he had grown a foot in every direction.
"Did the Freedom have any fights?"
Nat asked. Hab shook his head and grinned.
"Not a fight. The English can't catch her. She's too fast for them. Don't worry about the Freedom, Nat."
But a week later, when Hab sailed again, Nat did worry. Would the Freedom escape? How long before they'd know? Then one morning, Nat wakened suddenly to hear bells clanging and men shouting. Everybody in the house was stirring.
"I wonder what's wrong," Mother said.
"It's a bad wreck or a bad fire," Father said,
as he hurried to open the door. Outside, men were shouting, "Cornwallis is taken! We've won the war! Hooray! Cornwallis is taken!"